This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
This episode is brought to you by Sailee. Sailee eSIM provides internet connection wherever you travel, available in over 200 countries, and it saves you money on roaming fees. Sailee eSIM is secure and you always get 24/7 support. As one of our loyal listeners, you get access to an exclusive 15% off discount on Sailee data plans. So download the Sailee app today and use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout or go to the link in the show notes to get this promotional 15% off offer. This offer is only for a limited time, so don't wait.
If a Disney trip is ever in your future, this is an episode you won't want to miss. What if I told you your once-in-a-lifetime Disney vacation doesn't have to come with a once-in-a-lifetime price tag? In this episode, we dive into the hidden world of the Disney Vacation Club and how you can use it like a pro without ever becoming a member. My guest, Chelsea of the Pixie Point Gals, explains how families are scoring $900 deluxe Disney resort stays for under $300 a night, with perks like early park entry, free water park access, and skyline views, all without owning a timeshare. This is Disney done differently, with points, perks, and smart strategy. Chelsea shows how families, and even couples, are stacking Disney Vacation Club rentals with credit card rewards to unlock VIP-level Disney travel without the financial meltdown. If you've ever dreamed of doing Disney better and cheaper, this is your blueprint.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Today, I've got one half of the Pixie Point Gals with me, and I am super, super excited to talk through all things travel with points and miles and Disney Vacation Club. So Chelsea, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's nice to be here.
Absolutely. So Chelsea, before we get into all the Disney talk, and I'm going to try to channel my inner Disney child here at some point to this conversation, but tell us a little bit about yourself, Pixie Point Gals, where you guys are from, and how did you even get into the world of points and miles, or did it start with the Disney side and then Disney breached into points and miles? So I'm really curious to hear how it started before we dig into the full Disney Vacation Club points strategy.
Yeah, so I'm Chelsea and I'm half a Pixie Point Gals, like you said. The other half's actually my mom, so we're a mother-daughter duo. So my mom's name's Kim. So if you see that, Kim is the mom, I'm the daughter, Chelsea. We live in Southern Utah. And actually growing up, we would drive down to Disneyland a lot. It's only 6.5 hours probably from my hometown. So we would drive down there and my parents had this grand idea when I had my first newborn to take us to Walt Disney World. Didn't know how to get there. And they figured out this whole points and miles thing with a Southwest whole situation. So we ended up doing that, opening a credit card so that we could fly on Southwest. And it was a complete game changer for us that way. While that we were there, we heard people talking about Disney Vacation Club. So I think the points and miles thing kind of came first, and then the Vacation Club thing kind of came second. So my mom ended up buying her first DVC contract just for personal use. She wanted to take me, my kids, and me to Disney World. So she just wanted to be a cool grandma. Bought her first contract, and now we actually have a full brokerage shop. So we own multiple contracts, but we actually rent out other people's DVC points to people. So we have a full company. We're the only female owned and operated one. So it's kind of a cool thing. We're one of a couple in the world. So we're really excited about it. It's a really cool business that we're in, but also it's a really good marry between points and miles and DVC Vacation Club to kind of get a really cheap Disney vacation. So if you can marry both of them together, it's kind of the best of the best. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
That's awesome. So I know we're going to unpack the DVC world, and I want to talk a little bit more about your business, but we're going to save that for the end.
Yes.
So starting really with the basics, because the ultimate goal for listeners with this episode is understanding if you want to do a family trip to Disney, it doesn't have to cost the typical fortune that most people likely would pay for taking their whole family to Disney. So I want to really be able to help the listeners understand how is that possible. And we're going to start on the highest end level, because this is all going to be transparently news to me, because as we were talking offline, I had to Google search what DVC or Disney Vacation Club even was. So I'm going to ask you, Chelsea, can you explain what exactly is the Disney Vacation Club? My assumption is it's basically a timeshare, but I feel like you're going to correct me on that.
No. So it's basically, like you said, it's Disney's version of a timeshare system. It operates a lot different than any other timeshare systems. And one of the cool things and hard things for points and miles people to understand is DVC works off of a point system, and so does credit cards. They work off a point system. So when I talk, it might be interchanging, and I'll have to kind of explain. I'm talking about a DVC point versus a credit card point, which are two different things, but they operate off of DVC points, which is nice. You buy a certain amount of points that you can use at what they call your home resort, or where, you know, you primarily stay. But then you can also use those points to stay at places at Walt Disney World, Disneyland, the beach in Hawaii at Aulani. You could go to Vero Beach or Hilton Head. So any other Disney property, you can use these points. So you're not a traditional timeshare where your mom and dad may own a timeshare at a beach house, right? And you go the same week every year, and that's how it works. So people buy points, a certain amount of points, and they can do a studio, like a hotel room, all the way up to like a 3-bedroom grand villa overlooking the ocean in Hawaii. And those are completely different amount of points. So there's a lot of flexibility with their timeshare system, which is awesome.
So can someone that's not in the DVC system or a member, can they take advantage of that? Or do you have to buy into the program? I know you said you operate a brokerage, so obviously there's some buying and selling. What's the requirements to even do something like this?
Yeah. So what's really cool about DVC and Disney Vacation Club in general is that they allow you to use your points to rent out to other people. So some of our owners, maybe they want to go to Japan. I had a mom just barely that she wanted to take her girls to Japan for high school graduation. So she came to us and said, can you sell my points to a non-owner so that they can go to Disney? So we were able to rent them out to some non-owners. So we call those DVC renters. They're just, you know, your average Joe or that doesn't want to buy a timeshare contract. They just want to go to Disney for cheaper. And so we rent out their points to those people. So you do not have to own DVC in order to do that.
So can you kind of quantify how dramatically different is this? Because I'm assuming there's a little bit of a process and we can talk through what that looks like. But right now, I can take my travel credit card of preference and go online and say, I want to stay at X Disney place and get X Disney park or whatever it may be. And in a 5-minute series of transactions, I'm done and walk away. Now, there's going to be a cost there, and I'm sure that cost is significant. So what's the value in going through this route that you guys have found?
Yeah. So no matter how you rent, whether it's from me, a different shop, or even just on a Facebook group or something like that, right? You're going to probably save 50% off of what you would pay, even probably in a travel portal or paying cash rate. So that's usually why people want to do it, is they're taking a $800-$900 hotel room and it's costing them $300. So to them, it's worth the process.
Got it. That makes perfect sense. So then what are the drawbacks or limitations? I'm sure not every Disney hotel or resort is included, or are there blackout dates, or what are the limitations there?
Yeah. So what's really interesting is that DVC is just deluxe resorts. So they're like the highest level of the DVC, of the Disney resorts, I should say. So it's not maybe a value lower tier one that looks kind of like a motel. If you've ever been to Walt Disney World, they usually look like a motel and they have a door on the outside. These are your high quality. They're usually attached to like the monorail. They usually, like I said, run $800+ a night. They're very high end. They are the five-star of Disney, if you will, these deluxe resorts. So that's what Disney DVC is. So you're getting these deluxe resorts, which have specific perks and all of these great things for really a lower moderate value type cash rate. So that's why people want to do it, is because they get to feel bougie and fancy. It's kind of like why we do points and miles, right? You want to feel, I would never stay at these hotels. You walk in and you feel imposter syndrome. This is the Disney version of that, where everyone around you is wearing clothes that I would never pay for, but I'm there because I figured out how to make it cheaper.
Got it. So what does that process look like for someone when it comes to, okay, they want to take their family on a stay. Let's say they want to use your service and work with you or any other brokerage, but obviously you're here on the show, so they're going to want to work with you. What does that process look like? Is it they have to figure out their dates, or they have to be more flexible? Like we have to be with points and miles to have more flexibility with dates. So maybe a spring break or Christmas isn't included. I'm really curious, what does that look like?
Yeah. So DVC works off of a chart system that's dynamic. Think like Marriott's dynamic system, right? Or something like that. So, you know, Easter, Christmas, some of those are going to be higher priced on the DVC point chart than off season. You know, September in Orlando is not going to be as expensive as Christmas time, right? It's just lower season. So I do like to let people know that there's not unlimited availability. It's like if you're renting a timeshare room, right? There's only a certain amount of rooms per location. So I try to have people reach out as soon as they know dates, kind of like when you're at Points and Miles, you try to get right when it opens, which for us is 11 months out. So it's similar to Points and Miles, but slightly different. So 11 months out or 7 months out are kind of the two big timeframes that we have people reach out. But it's a very simple process. You just message or you put in a request at any brokerage. They're going to look up on their little timeshare DVC site, see what's available, and then they get back to you and tell you, you know, maybe this resort doesn't have availability, but a similar one does. Are you interested in that? And then the process is pretty straightforward. I reach out to that owner, like that lady that wants to take her daughters to Japan. I say, hey, this person wants to stay at the Polynesian on the monorail. Can you book it for them? And then they book it for the person. So that's kind of how it works. There's, like I said, Facebook groups. And our first time we rented on eBay of all places. And you just went on eBay and booked it, right? There's a lot of different locations. But for your first time, it's usually easiest to go with a broker because you don't even know what you're supposed to, like you wouldn't know what you're even looking for, right? So usually it's easier to have someone tell you what to do.
And now when someone's going through this process, just to clarify, are they buying the points through you or are they buying the stay? And I know that's similar questions, but it's very different, right? I have no idea frame of points. Let's just say 100,000 points. Is it, hey, literally 100,000 points is what I'm buying from you and I can use this wherever, or you're going to book it for me? Or is it actually, no, you're going to book these three nights and that cost is 100,000 points, but I'm buying those three nights?
Yeah. So just for context too, a DVC room for, you know, a studio, so like a basic room, runs from 9 points to like 35. Well, so I'll give you some context. 100,000 might be, you know, a lot of money. So what we do is we reach out to the owner and say, you know, they want to stay at the Riviera. It's 20 points a night, right? They're going to stay three nights. Will you book it? And then we charge the person a certain amount per point, right? So I'll say it's, you know, $21.50 a point. I'll charge per point how much that stays. So it's actually a little bit of both. You're booking a specific stay. You're not buying the points off of them. You're just buying for what stay you want to stay at. I hope that makes sense. So yeah, that's kind of how it works. But yeah, even a Grand Villa in Hawaii is only going to cost you a couple hundred points. So we probably don't want to have anybody, if they tell you they're charging you 100,000, it's not a good deal. Don't do it. That's bad.
That's hilarious. So I'm just here laughing because in my frame of mind, I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's like 25, 30,000 points a night, like the hotel points and miles system that I'm used to. And so as soon as you said, yeah, you know, like 9 points per night, I was like, well, this shows exactly how much knowledge I have on the subject, which is why I'm bringing you the expert on, because I'm sure there are other listeners who are wondering the same exact thing. So that's fantastic. Now, let me ask you, Chelsea, I know there are, just like with regular points and miles for airlines and hotels, there's strategies, there's tips, there's things that can be done to elevate the experience that you would likely know that someone brand new wouldn't, right? With, you know, points and miles, maybe a newbie is getting a 2 cent per point redemption, but an expert is getting a 5 or 10 cent per point redemption with their Amex or their Citi or their Chase points or whatever it may be. So I'm very curious, with in the world of the Disney Vacation Club, what are your favorite ways to stretch those points, you know, for longer or more luxurious stays? What are some of the tips and strategies that someone with your level of expertise has found to be very beneficial?
Yeah. So first thing I like to point out to people is you can use credit card points and miles to do it. So there is savings in that. So we have a lot of people that will, for example, open a venture card and they're thinking, oh, I'm getting a 1 cent return on my investment, but they are saving, you know, 60, 70% off the room. So they start doing the math and think, well, this room's only costing me 25,000 points a night. I'm getting all these perks, all these great things. This is the equivalent of an $800 a night room, right? So they can kind of justify that 1 cent per point ratio that they're getting when they do rent DVC, right? Because the initial cash rate is $800, $900 a night. So that's one thing I do like to point out to people. Someone like my site's going to code as travel. So you can either reap a lot of benefits, right? You can get a lot of points by booking DVC, or you can use points to offset some of that cost. So that's the first thing I like to point out. These Disney Vacation Club also has some rooms that are a lot cheaper, right? But there are a lot of costs included that if you stay offsite or even at a partner, like at a Marriott that's near or on property, that are included, those costs that are hidden at other places. So a lot of points and miles people like to talk about the Grand Hyatt Cypress that's in Orlando. They're like, look, this is a great hotel. It's 18,000 points a night. But they have really bad in and out transportation to the parks. It only goes to one out of the four parks. It's really spotty, right? So you have to pay for Ubering back and forth. You have to pay for parking if you're not a globalist. You have to park at Disney, which is $40 a day, right? So you start adding up these hidden costs. And a lot of my followers have come to find they do apples to apples and they think, well, I'd rather spend 25,000 points and get all these early entry, late night hours, a free water park ticket. They get so much more out of a slightly more point cost. So that I would like to tell people, make sure you're comparing apples to apples a little bit, because there are some hidden costs with Disney that you don't expect. And there's convenience with staying at a DVC, even if it's the lowest cost one, right? You're just going budget. It might cost you, like I said, maybe $180 a night or $200 a night. That's probably worth it to someone to get all those perks instead of Ubering back and forth, paying for parking, doing all those extra things. And just time is valuable. When you're trying to go to Disney and you've spent all this money on tickets and all these other things, you don't want to be Ubering 40 minutes back and forth with your screaming kid after fireworks because you're tired, right? Like, you just don't want to do that. So the free transportation and all those other things I have found, and if you look at like Disney specific content creators that are going to Disney a lot, you'll notice they're staying on property because they don't want to deal with all the other costs associated. So that's my little tip for people. Really look at apples to apples when you're kind of doing the points and miles game or the dollar game back and forth.
I love how you mentioned that, because myself, I would have quite literally been like, what's the closest Hyatt to Disney? Yes. And stayed there. And now I am globalist, so the parking would have been free there, but I would have been like, oh, okay, there is only one park you go to, and then I do have to pay to park at Disney now, and the transportation isn't easy. And so, yes, I think that's a really unique perspective to put on it, because while there may not be the resort fees and the stay may be completely free because you used Hyatt points and you have some status benefits, there's other things that lend to the luxury part of the visit. And as a traveler who often touts the luxury aspect of travel, I think there's nuances there that's really important to point out, like you have mentioned yourself, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
One of the things I do want to take a quick step back on, or at least provide some clarification for maybe a listener who heard this and had a little bit more questions. When you talked about people opening the Capital One Venture card as an example, you said using those points because you code as travel, which I think it's awesome that your brokerage codes as travel. That makes the points in Miles World so much easier. And so I know you were referring to the fact that when you do have the Capital One Venture card, they have the travel eraser feature. So you can use your points to basically get a statement credit or eliminate travel purchases on your venture card. I'm assuming that's what you were referring to, correct?
Yes, that's what I was referring to.
Perfect, Chelsea. So are there better times of year or specific resorts that also offer more bang for your buck when it comes to the DVC points?
Yeah, so there are definitely tiers, just like everything, right? There's your like more budget DVC. There's the more convenient ones that are maybe right by the parks that you can walk into Magic Kingdom from, right? So there's definitely different tiers. Basically, just like most things, it's cheaper to travel off season, right? So you're looking at for Florida, September, February, May is a really good time. When kids are in school and parents have to pull their kids out for Disney, that's pretty much the best time, November. So I always suggest to people, if you're flexible, there are crowd calendars out there that you can just Google. Disney crowd calendar, and it's going to tell you how busy and psycho it will be at the parks. Don't go during a busy season if you have flexibility. You're going to spend all your time in line. The cost for the rooms is going to be higher. So if you can travel when it is less busy, you're going to have a better experience, if I'm being honest. So that's something I suggest. There are three really budget-friendly DVC resorts. They start at like $180, $200 a night on our site. Really budget friendly, but they are getting all these deluxe fancy perks, which I can talk about. But those, I would say, if you're brand new, start with one of those and see. If I were talking about my favorite, I like the convenience. I like points and miles. I like being bougie, right? So I would say I usually try to stay next to either the monorail, or I'll do a split stay and maybe stay over by one park and then switch to another one, right? So I'll kind of get the best of both worlds. So it really is up to your budget of what you're looking at. I have my favorite resorts that I like to stay at. There are a lot at Disney World, which I don't think people understand, but Disney World itself is the size of San Francisco. So if you're looking at the park, you know, there could be 14 DVC resorts just in that one area, right? So compare it to San Francisco. So you're not going to walk from one end to the other end.
Wow.
You're going to have to take transportation. You're going to have to get different places. So I try to do split stays most of the time when it's me, just because I want to stay at two different locations. And Disney transports my bags. They do everything for me. So I can go to the park all day and come back to a brand new room at a different resort. So I like to kind of switch it up and try new things. But that's my advice. See some things.
Wait. I got to take a step back here. So you're saying you can stay at a resort and then essentially check out of said resort, go to the park, and then check into another resort, and they will have relocated your bags for you?
Yeah, they'll even relocate food. Like if you have a kitchen one, they'll like move your food as long as it's not like super perishable. They'll move that. But yeah, I do it almost every time because there is a little hack, little trick. But when you move, they actually give you right now a free water park day when you check in. So halfway between your trip, you get like a $70 per person ticket in the middle of your trip. And you get to go to the water parks with your kids because you stayed at you're checking into a resort, even though you're just moving. So there are little kind of tricks like that that I like to do, but I like to switch it up because it's fun to stay. My kids like staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge where there's giraffes outside their room, and then we'll switch to one maybe closer to the parks and we can kind of split stay that way.
I think that one section just made the whole episode. I mean, that right there was fantastic. So I'm trying to figure out where I want to go next with this. I feel so enlightened. This is amazing.
Yes. It's a whole new world, isn't it?
I would start singing A Whole New World, but I really can't sing. And so I don't want to lose my listeners here at all. So let me ask you this then. So you mentioned a couple tricks there, and you mentioned there are some lower budget resorts and properties that do have some deluxe benefits that you get. I do want to come back to that, but I also want to find out for those that might be in my world, right? So my fiance and I, we are in the dinkwad life, dual income, no kids with a dog, travel. We try to stick more so with the adults only luxury resorts, right? When we fly, we love to fly, you know, Qatar Business and Emirates Business, and it's just the two of us. So that's the type of travel we do. But I know vast majority of our listeners have children. So I'm very curious though, for the listeners that we do have that are more like myself, are there any more adult friendly or couples friendly resorts in the DVC world that you know of and that you find really enjoyable?
Yeah. So, you know, they always joke about a Disney adult, right? So they definitely cater to some Disney adult people at some of these resorts. One of my favorites is the Riviera. It's the brand new Disney hotel. It's based off of the French Riviera. That's the whole idea. So all these resorts, all the deluxe have like bars, really high-end restaurants. Some of them even have like, you know, massages, and their pools are very nice. So it's funny because I had a sibling, same thing, they're dinks, if you will, and they decided to go out just the two of them. And, you know, Epcot has Drinking Around the World that people really enjoy. And there are a lot of adult friendly things at Disney. Same with Disneyland. Disneyland has a food and wine festival, just like Disney World, right? So foodies like to do that too. So I would say at Disney World, the Riviera is a really good option. It's right on the Skyliner. It's really pretty. There's mosaic tiles everywhere. It's just really, really high end. I also love anything on the monorail. So the Polynesian, which is based off of Hawaii. And then you have the Grand Floridian, which is based off of a hotel in California. So they are really nice for couples, I would say. There are some high-end options. And it is funny because a lot of my recent current renters that I've been dealing with the last couple of days have just been couples, people going on girls trips or bachelorette parties that are going out to just have a good time. And even multi-generational, like a daughter wanted to take her mom for her wedding anniversary because she got married at this hotel, you know, how many years ago? So there are a lot of options for adults, which is kind of surprising at both locations, I would say.
Hey, everyone. I hope you're enjoying this week's episode. DeAndre here, and I just wanted to interrupt briefly to remind you of two things. First, be sure to sign up for our newsletter where we give you direct access to travel updates, news you'll want to jump on in the points and miles world, and our continuously updated card offers to maximize your travel rewards, often before they're ever mentioned in the show. Also, if you didn't already know, we have a private Facebook group where we share news as it breaks, ideas, and other things that don't make it into the newsletter or show many times. And that's the best place to get your points and miles question answered directly by me and other travel enthusiasts. Both of these links will be in the show notes. Now, back to the show. So I'm sure some of these nicer hotels and resorts have a lot of the luxury amenities to them. But you mentioned that even the lower end cheaper properties, I believe you said the range was $180 to $200-ish a night, have some deluxe aspects to them. Can you comment on what some of those are for someone that is more in the budget realm when it comes to this type of travel?
Yeah, so they start about, I would say about $200. That's September pricing, right? It's cheap time to go and it goes up from there. But the cool thing about deluxe resorts is they all get the same certain, like, you know, amenities, I would guess you would say. So they all have splash pads. They all have high-end pools. They all have slides. So if you have kids, those lower end don't have that. They don't have hot tubs. They don't have slides. They don't have splash pads. And if you've had a two-year-old at a park, literally all they want to do is a splash pad. So there are those perks, but even on top of that, you get early entry hours. So you get to get into the parks before everyone else, but you get deluxe evening hours. So I live on the West Coast, right? I mentioned I live near Las Vegas. Vegas. So I fly from Las Vegas into Orlando. My 6 and 9 year old are on West Coast time. So they are like at 11 o'clock wide awake buzzing in Florida. So what they have there are called deluxe evening hours. All deluxe resort people get to use these. They keep the parks open from like 9 till midnight or 9 till 1 in the morning. It's a really late at night. And only the people staying at that handful of hotels get access to that park that night. So you're basically walking onto rides that normally have a 60 minute plus wait because you're staying at this hotel over a moderate value hotel. So those are just some of the things. You do get free parking. There's no resort fees. You don't have to pay for the water park on the day you check in. So there are a lot of these, like I mentioned before, hidden perks that you really do want to look at. Because if you are you and you're like, I don't go to Disney that much, this is going to be a one and done thing for me with my 5-year-old. You want to definitely see all those perks and see if it's worth it to you. So those resorts have a lot of high-end amenities. They have bus transportation or maybe a boat. Maybe even the Skyliner, which is in the air, that will take you to the parks, the monorail. So you're not having to sit, even if you stay at the Cypress, it might take you 30 minutes to get to parking and then you got to park, right? So like there's some hidden cost associated with time that you're not going to get when you stay at Deluxe as well.
And so I think you pretty much answered my next question, which was going to be for someone who may only think about doing a Disney trip with their family once every few years, it still makes sense to go this DVC route versus the more traditional way of just kind of booking a budget stay for Disney, correct?
Yeah, I would say so. If it's your first time, you're going to want to go all out. Just, you know, we've all in the points and miles world recognized that we used to stay at a Motel 6 and now we've upgraded to, you know, the Hyatt Regency, if you will, or beyond. So the same concepts kind of with Disney. You can stay off property. You can do an Airbnb. You can do those things. But if you're going to do a one and done situation, it's just a different type of magic being in the Disney bubble that I think is worth it for people to spend a little bit extra points or a little bit extra money to make that magic really happen. And I have seen so many parent meltdowns at Disney World, and I can tell you that it's worth any sort of convenience to be able to go back to your hotel room for a nap, for air conditioning, to go get a drink real quick at the bar because you just have had it with your kid on a ride. There are so many good reasons to just be in the bubble, I guess. I literally saw a couple, he like whacked her with a churro, and I still remember this day that they were fighting over a churro. So that's my advice. Try to make your Disney magic actually magical. Don't try to overcomplicate it.
Don't get into a churro fight either.
Don't get into a fight with your spouse about money. That's what I watched happen. It's just not worth it. One thing I will note, speaking of just being on property, you also can charge your hotel room when you stay on property from a magic band, which is kind of a cool trick. So if you're at Disney parks and you have your little magic band, you go up and you order a churro, right? You scan your magic band. It's actually charging your room. So a lot of points and miles people like that perk too, because once again, they can use that travel eraser feature. Maybe they've been racking up Capital One miles and they don't really have a reason to use them. So they use it for food. But even my kid's stuffed animal, you know, that they buy at the park, if I scan my magic band, dining, you know, bibbidi bobbidi boo with my daughter, any of that can code to go back to my hotel room. So whether you're trying to earn a bunch of points or cover it, it can go back to your hotel room versus just Disney park random coding at the park that doesn't make any sense.
No, that's a great tip there, because if you're, as you said, whether you're wanting to erase the points, ideally, again, if you have a Capital One card, or maybe you have a Chase card that's giving you 3x on travel, well, the gift shop item when you buy it at Disney likely isn't going to code that way. But if it's charged through your hotel room, it will. And that can absolutely add up to you getting a bunch of points out of the experience, and you spent less cash out of pocket to have the experience as well, which is fantastic.
Yeah. You can also have a gift card hooked to your hotel room. So a lot of people will buy a gift card, like a Disney gift card, and get, you know, 4 or 5 times the points on that gift card. And then they'll just have it as their room. You just pay at the end of the night all of your hotel bill with your gift card. And a lot of people earn quite a few Chase points doing it that way. That's a really good way to earn some points.
Wow. Wow. Amazing tips there, Chelsea. I got a question for you. So when you book your stay through DVC, right? I've booked through your brokerage. I've got a 3-4 night stay, or actually, no, I got a 2-3 night stays because I just learned I can split and then have them transport all my stuff. So I'm going to do a split stay. Now, my question, does that include the tickets to get into the park? I know it has early entry and late access, but what about the literal actual just booking the tickets? Is that included or is that separate still?
It's just separate. So we have annual pass holders that book DVC. You can do conference tickets, for example. You can hook those to it. You can just do a regular old ticket you buy as well. So we usually have people book those separate and just link it in their Disney app. The app is pretty much where everything is housed and created. So we have them do that separately just because you can get even better deals on tickets sometimes at a different location than booking direct from Disney a ticket. That's just a separate thing that you do.
Got it. Got it. Okay. So maybe if there's an Amex offer or something like that, that can apply. I know we already talked through a lot of points and miles strategies, but I was wondering if there's the opportunity to maximize your purchasing of tickets, because the tickets alone for the parks aren't cheap, obviously. So I was wondering to what extent things are included or not included.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do a couple different routes with tickets. Many people, like I mentioned, will buy Disney gift cards and use those to buy their tickets. And usually you can get a gift card. Even your Target Red card's giving you 5% off a Disney gift card, right? So even the bare minimum, a lot of people can get 5 to 10% off. I know today, for example, Sam's Club, it's 10% off a Disney gift card. So people tend to do that and then they'll buy their tickets. So gift cards are a really good option. Somewhere like Undercover Tourist, they're discounted, and you can also do conference tickets. So people can just go online and Google conference tickets and buy them that way. And they're quite a bit cheaper. So there's multiple different ways to buy tickets and use points and miles. You should be getting about 10% off, I would say, if you can, off of a ticket. That would be my rule of thumb.
Perfect. So Chelsea, what are some common mistakes that you do see first-time renters make, whether they've gone the traditional DVC route? I don't know if there is a traditional route, but a traditional route of going through a brokerage. Are there any kind of first-time mistakes that you see that people make that you have tips or suggestions on how to avoid?
Yeah, I think the first thing is, if you're going to do a Facebook group, don't pay anyone until you're linking the reservation in your account, because that's what scam artists do on Facebook groups. So they'll just say, oh, I booked this resort for you. Here's the screenshot. But if you don't link it, it doesn't exist. And then you're out hundreds of dollars that you just Venmo'd somebody that for a room that doesn't exist. So if you are going to go more of a Facebook group route or an eBay route or something, right, just keep in mind that you need to always have linked your reservation before there's any pay. So we don't charge anyone until you already have it linked. So there's no worry about you getting scammed, right? Because that's the biggest issue with renting DVC that people have, is they're worried they're going to get scammed. Obviously, if it's too good of a deal, it's probably too good to be true. And so we charge $21.50 a point, ours, and we're like the cheapest brokerage. If someone's charging you $13 a point, it's probably not real, right? Like, that's too low of a cost. So if you are going to do a Facebook route, you want to do it on your own, just be leery of different things. I will say, renting DVC wise, just do your homework and know that some resorts are really hard to get and others are easier to get. So we have a whole breakdown of that on our site. But there are, you know, the Grand Californian at Disneyland, you can walk into the parks from it. I don't know if you've ever seen this hotel, but it backs up to DCA. So you can literally walk into the park. That hotel's near impossible to get at 7 months out. Like, it's gone at 11 months out. There's only, I think, 6 rooms or something in the whole hotel for DVC, right? So there are some hotels that are really hard to get and others that are a lot easier to get. So if you're flexible, just keep that in mind. You might not get your first choice hotel, but maybe something similar you'll be able to get. So just be flexible with the type of resort or the time of year. If you can move your weeks a week or two, that would be great. So anyway, that's my one couple of pieces. Don't get scammed, and definitely look at, you know, when you can go, and be flexible with the type of resort you're staying at.
I love that. Now, this might be the financial advisor in me, like, being slightly over analytical when it comes to numbers and costs and pricing. But when you mentioned that you have your fee per point, so let's just say I'm going to use 100 points instead of 100,000 this time.
Yes.
So let's say it's 100 points and you're charging, I think you said 2150, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's ours.
So Is that the total cost that someone could expect to pay for a 100-point stay, or is that the cost to your brokerage and then there's other costs on top of that?
So no, that person would just pay, what is that, $2,150, right? Or something like $2,150. That would be their total all in. There's no taxes. There's no fees. There's no additional cost. Once they book it, that room is theirs. That's what's interesting is if you go to the Disney site, they'll have a cash rate. And then like most hotels, then you add it up, right? And all of a sudden there's all these taxes and fees that are tacked on at the end. So it's really not $550, $600 hotel room, it's really, you know, an $800 hotel room because they've added all these fees on top of it. Ours, there are no, that is with the fees, that's with the resort, that's with the taxes, that's everything. So what you see that number is what you will actually pay to stay at that hotel. There will be no additional costs and there's no parking fees, right? None of that. So there really is no other fees to it.
And I know you mentioned you have a client that she's looking to take her girls to Japan.
Yes.
I'm assuming then, so for all the Disney parks around the world, there are DVC properties as well that people can look for if they're looking for a more international Disney experience?
So Disney, interesting enough, Disney Tokyo is actually owned by Oriental Trading, right? It's not owned by Disney. So they don't have anything at Disney Japan. If you want to stay at the on-property Disney Japan options in Tokyo, they're actually, they're not that expensive for comparatively to the parks in the United States, but they don't partner. There's no DVC. There is technically like in Hong Kong and some of these places, but they're terrible rate. Like you might as well just pay cash to stay at the hotels. They're really bad. Same with Paris. It's not worth it there. So we always, this lady in particular I was talking about, she had twin daughters. She wanted to take them to Tokyo Disney for their high school graduation. So she was actually an owner of DVC that was selling her points to someone. And she was taking the cash so that she could do all the Tokyo Disney stuff, pay for the flights, do everything for her teenage daughters. So that's what a lot of our owners do. They're people that maybe want to go on a cruise. They want to go somewhere else for the year. So they're selling their points to a renter like you that's going, you know, with their kid in the future or something. That's kind of how it works. So I hope that makes sense. But there's a place in Hawaii, Disney's Alani. It's actually our top resort because point-wise, it's very comparable to like Hyatt Regency, Kauai, and some of these others. It probably costs you 35,000 points a night off-season, right? So if you're, you know, doing that Capital One Venture X or Racer feature, that's the easiest one to explain to people. So I'll use that. It might cost you 35,000 points to stay at Alani. There's two beach resorts in the East Coast. So there's Hilton Head and Vero Beach, which are both Disney resorts. And then Disneyland and Disney World have DVC too. So just depends on where you want to go, but you can go to all those places. But Alani's actually our top one more than any other Disney resort that our brokerage rents for.
I love that. That's super helpful to break that down, where people can go and how. I'm curious, you just mentioned a great story on the brokerage side of someone that was an owner. Do you have a favorite by chance client success story when it comes to how they were able to have a really magical Disney experience through DVC? I know you probably have plenty, but any one that particularly stands out?
Yeah, I kind of alluded to this one, but we had a lady that it just made our whole day. She called, she wanted to just get two nights at the Grand Floridian, which is like the bougie hotel at Disney. If you were to think, it's just really fancy. And she had gotten married there 40 years earlier, 30 years earlier, so quite a bit earlier. She was a grandma. And she was from the UK and she wanted to take her husband and their daughter back to see where she got married. And we were able to get her that room. And she's like, I would have never been able to afford to show my daughter like where we got married and Disney World and all this stuff. But because I rented from you, I'm able to actually stay at the resort instead of stay off property and take her to the resort. So it was fun. They were going to do like a whole photo shoot for their, you know, 40th wedding anniversary. And it was this big deal. So that was kind of a fun one we had recently. Of course, we have all the fun family ones where, you know, kids are going for the first time and they send us pictures of them dressed up as Cinderella. And, you know, that's fun too. But that one in particular kind of hit home for me that this lady wanted to take her kid to where she got married. So that was kind of fun.
You know, Chelsea, the name of this podcast is Revolutionizing Your Journey because it's about people who have done travel differently or who are interested in doing travel differently, right? You have a system where you're helping revolutionize people's Disney experience because you're getting them more value, less dollars, and having an incredible experience. And kudos to you for what you and your mom have put together. And additional kudos for being the only all-female brokerage to do it as well. I think that takes an additional mention also. And so before we wrap this up, I just have a couple last questions for you. We've talked through a lot of really great things when it comes to DVC. You mentioned that you have a lot of places that you love to stay, take your own family. If you had to knock it down to one, what is your favorite Disney resort and why?
I'd say the Polynesian. It's right on the monorail. I'm staying there in August, so I can say that that's the one I would pick because I'm staying there in August. So the Polynesian, it has Dole Whips and you can see the fireworks from the pool, and the pool is really fun. The theming's great. The restaurants are great. So it's like going to Hawaii without going to Hawaii. Just the theming's really fun. My daughter's favorite character is Stitch, and Stitch is always at that hotel. So there are just some fun parts to it. And the proximity to the parks, it can't really be beat. I love the Polynesian. So that would be my choice. It also sleeps 5 versus 4 that a lot of others. So there's just additional space for families too, which I appreciate that as well.
That's awesome. I resonate with your daughter. I'm low-key, only the thousands of listeners on this podcast will know this, low-key excited for the Lilo and Stitch live-action movie, just throwing that out there. So I know your mother wanted to be the cool grandmother and create this experience. So it sounds like that was maybe more of your intro into Disney, or did you have some longstanding Disney traditions and memories prior, or have you created them since then, traditions now for you and your kids?
Yeah, so we primarily went to Disneyland. And interestingly enough, now that I've kind of gone through this process, I go to Disney World more often than I go to Disneyland, which is just interesting. I'm driving distance to Disneyland, but I fly more now because of points and miles. I fly more. So I would say we had annual passes when I was a kid to Disneyland, right? It was close. We could drive down for the long weekend. But when I had my own child, then we went to Disney World, and I just enjoyed the process of being at Disney World, that immersive experience. We kind of shifted to be more going to Disney World, sometimes Disneyland as well. I still go there a little bit just because of the work I do. But Disney World, we go a lot more. And now I have my own DVC contracts. My mom does. We have all these different clients. And it's just really cool to see how much my kids love Disney now. And it's funny, we were at the park the other day, and this, I don't remember, lender was giving away a trip to Disneyland. And he's like, sign this up so that you can get a trip to Disneyland. And my daughter was like, I go there all the time. Like, for her, it was this guy's pitch was not selling. She was not interested. So she looked at him and said, my mom basically lives there, is what she said. So it's really cool now because my two daughters, they have no context. I'm sure most parents are like this with points and miles even. Like, why don't we just go to Japan? I'm like, because I have to plan going to Japan. And it feels very much like that with Disney, where my kids are like, of course we can go. Like, it's easy. We know how to do that. They have no context. So we are definitely a Disney family now, leaned into it. My girls are the perfect age. They're just immersed in the magic of it. So I think we'll be a Disney family for a while, but they seem to like it.
I love that, Chelsea. So where can the listeners follow Pixie Point Gals? And if they want to reach out, if they've heard this and like, you know what, next time we go to Disney, whether that's next year or 5 years from now, we're going to go the DVC route, how can they connect with you?
Yeah, so they can find us on Instagram at Pixie Point Gals. We also have our website, our brokerage website, which is pixiepointgals.com. So both of those are probably pretty easy to find us. I'm most active in those two places. I'm sure I have other things that I forgot about, but those are where I'm most active.
Awesome. I actually thought of another question when I just asked you that question. I know there you said the window opens up 11 and 7 months in advance.
Yeah.
How far in advance do you need to? Obviously, the farther out, the easiest. Is it possible to do last minute, right? Because in the points and miles world, there's both ends. You can get a lot of availability 11 months out, and you can also oftentimes find a lot of availability like 2 weeks out. So what's that window of reality for someone if, you know, maybe their plans change? Like, well, I wonder if I can do DVC next week. What does that look like?
Yeah, so DVC is a little different than points and miles this way. I would say the planner gets what they want, and maybe the last minute person, maybe not so much. So Disney Vacation Club points for an owner, this is just a little education, they can't use, once they, it's within a 32-day window, like a 30-day window, their points go into what's holding. And it's this really complicated process. They're hard to use. So owners don't even want to book things that are within 32-day window. Like, they're not interested. They don't want their points to go into holding for themselves or for someone else. So there are sometimes last minute deals. They're called confirmed reservations on any of these broker sites. Basically, people that something came up, they can't go on their vacation anymore. They want to just change it over to your name, right? They already have the resort, those 3 days booked. But for the most part, I would say the early bird gets the worm with DVC. You want to be at least right before 7 months out is probably a good rule of thumb to get where you want to go.
Perfect. I appreciate you answering that. So before we wrap this up, last two questions for you. Who else should we have on the show that can provide a wealth of knowledge in the realm of points and miles in general? It could be Disney focused. It could just be general points and miles. But who else do you think we should have on the show that the listeners would love to hear from?
So if you're Disney specific, there are two people that I actually think are like the gurus of points and miles. And I message them all the time when I get hicked up on things about Disney, and I go there a lot. So Summer is Joy is really good at homeschooling on points. Those two women are, they just do Disney and do it very well. And so one of them is single and one of them is a mom. So they also have different perspectives. Like you talked about, adult going to Disney by themselves versus a mom. So I would say those two, their knowledge of points and miles, it like boggles my mind how much they know about Disney and points and miles. So I would suggest those two if I had to pick two people.
Perfect. We'll try to connect with them for a future episode. Chelsea, any last thoughts at all? This has been fantastic. I know you dropped a lot of knowledge, a lot of valuable information, a lot of tips that, I mean, I found myself absolutely surprised by so many things that you said in a good way, not knowing that this world even existed. Anything else you can think of or any final thoughts that you want to share with the listeners?
Yeah, I think the big thing is be open to trying different and maybe out of the box ideas with points and miles when it comes to Disney. Maybe don't just go the Hyatt traditional route and see if there are some different places, even for Disneyland. I think Marriott is better than Hyatt sometimes. So just make sure that you are open to different ideas, that, you know, the same formula doesn't always work for every vacation. So really think outside the box when it comes to your Disney vacation, and points and miles would be my suggestion.
Perfect. Chelsea, thank you so much. This has been a wealth of knowledge and information. So it's been fantastic having you on the show today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. For the listeners, if you're ready to think outside the box, do your Disney trip a little bit different, if you want to not have to master the DVC world yourself, but have someone who has mastered the DVC world hook you up with an incredible vacation for yourself and your family, reach out to Chelsea and Kim of the Pixie Point Gals. And if you found this episode valuable, or you know of someone that wants to go to Disney, take their family, send this episode to them as well. As always, if you loved it, like, subscribe, tell your friends, leave us a review and a rating, and we will catch you on the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick single topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.